Hey, this is Danny G, and guess what? In 6 days, I am getting married. Yes, this time next week, I will be hashtag DMoney. That's going to be my married name, but you know, I'm always Danny G. Same OG, all that good stuff. But so in this moment, I'm being super reflective and I'm thinking about my wedding planning experience, which took me to my leadership journey, which put me in a really, really reflective space. And in being reflective, I have to be honest. And sometimes I have to say things that don't necessarily feel good to say, or they don't sound good, but they're honest for me. And so tonight's episode is going to be the second time that we do something on my little leadership series. So lessons that I learned in leadership. And tonight, what I'm going to talk about is that throughout my wedding planning process, as I stand here in this moment, I realized that I am a great leader, but I was a bad bride. Laughter and tears at the same time. Both of them. Yes, a great leader, but a bad bride. And so how am I a great leader? Like, where does that come from? So at work, throughout my professional experiences, I've learned that in order to be successful, leadership expects you to be able to anticipate their needs. So you need to have an ability to recognize patterns, understand trends, and try to anticipate and get ahead of situations, proactively provide solutions and alternative scenarios. And that is what leadership looks like. That's what success looks like. People don't want to have to give you explicit direction. They want to be able to, you know, you're here. You see these needs. What are the needs? Move. Yes, do it. Great. Anticipate my needs. I don't know what I need, but I need you to know what I need. I don't have the words to explain what I want, but I need you to be able to figure out what I want. Yes. Across my organizations and roles, this has been a recurring theme. So you learn how to be flexible and adaptable and move around and read between the lines and pick up the pieces. Like, you learn how to build the plane while you're flying it. You learn how to get ahead of things, anticipate needs. So I thought I would be able to bring that same approach as a bride planning my wedding. I thought, like, okay, we know that wedding planning is stressful, but guess what? I'm an operations person. I am an HR person. I know people. I know behavior. I know groups. I know that we can do this. I know that we can figure out a way to systemize this and make it easy and enjoyable and enhance the experience, because I'm the director of employee engagement. So that is how I think. So I thought I would be able to do that for my wedding. Guess what? Director Danny could not translate into Bride Danny. Director Danny was slowly turning into a bridezilla, and I realized that I was contributing to the problem. I thought that I could anticipate the needs. I tried to out-operationalize humans and humans' behavior. I tried to plan for all the glitches. Like, I've watched these shows for years. Me and many of my bridesmaids together have watched these shows. I know Four Weddings. I know Say Yes to the Dress. I know what the good components of weddings are. I know what bridal parties and wedding parties can look like and how it can work together. I know that stuff. So I thought I knew the bridesmaid drama and roadblocks. I knew that I did not want to be a bridezilla. So what did I do? I tried to do what I do at work. I tried to become super accommodating. I tried to anticipate those needs. I was flexible, adaptable. I was everything a good leader should be. And it made me a terrible bride. So, like, well, okay, Danny, you're being dramatic because Danny's so dramatic. No, I am not. I have proof. How was I, like, what leadership traits? I was super collaborative. Like I said in my first little leadership talk, when I had my wedding planner who saved me from becoming a bridezilla, LaToya Keys, LK Events. When I first got engaged, I set up the systems. I sent out a Google Doc to collect resumes. Like I did all of those things. I created calendars. I shared collaborative documents with everybody who was necessary. Like every stakeholder got access and voice. I gave them deadlines. When bridesmaids asked me, like, well, when are we going to do this? And I need to know this. And I said, okay, you know, that's fine. That's fair. That's my answer to everything. That's fine. That's fair. Not to everything, after I do a brief analysis. But I determined it was fine. It was fair. They wanted to know deadlines. Cool. Set the deadlines. Everything that people wanted, I tried to give. And so what was the outcome? I gave way too many people way too much power. In order to show deference, openness, and an attempt to create a team environment, I ended up stripping myself of my own power and voice as a bride. Me trying to be collaborative and giving people voice and choice and access, all the way unlimited access to the planning process in the very beginnings, letting them determine my deadlines, I gave them too much power and I gave it away to too many people. And so I felt like I had backed myself into a corner. And in some cases, I had. But of course, you know, me being me, because I'm a great leader, my second leadership trait, I am adaptable. So I looked around. I said, okay, fine. I'm in this corner. I allowed myself to be in this corner. I'm responsible. You know, I said, I allowed myself to be here. This corner isn't that bad. And I can knock this wall out. You know what? I can make this work. Actually, it works well. Cool. I like this corner. All right, I'm here. And so I looked around, and in my attempt to always try to find the light, I ignored pieces and warning signs. I ignored the darkness. And so I thought, again, I could out-operationalize. I could fix it. I thought I was the problem. I tried to release myself of ownerships of different components in the name of being adaptable. And so what did it look like as a bride? I removed myself from certain interactions. I removed myself from talking to the groomsmen. My groom requested, like, you know what? Let's manage our own relationships. I'll talk to the groomsmen. You talk to the bridesmaids. And it got to a point like, okay, well, maybe because we had different people on different sides. So we said, well, maybe we can each talk to our people. So I had a groomsman on his side. He had bridesmaids on my side. Well, wait, maybe because we don't have established relationships, we should just talk to the people that we have relationship with. Again, I said, fine, because I was being adaptable. I was being collaborative. And I thought that I was giving people what they wanted. Because guess what? Guess what else? Like, with my groom, whom I love so much, he didn't even want me to see his tux or know any of the details. So I just had to like let it go and believe that it was all going to be okay. Because ultimately, look, I don't got to know everything. I'm not a control freak. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a bridezilla. Fine. You want to own these relationships and talk to certain people? Fine. I don't have to talk to the groomsmen. I trust you are delivering all of the messages to the groomsmen. I trust that. That we are all on the same page and getting all the same information. I trust it. Because you know why I trust it? My third trait. My third leadership trait that I believe makes me so darn great. I respect autonomy. So I'm not a micromanager. I am not a person who will sit over your shoulder and watch what you do. What I am and who I am is the person that makes sure you can do what I need you to do before you even get in this seat. So I'm the person who's articulated all of my expectations. I've given examples. I've checked for clarity and understanding. I've asked you for feedback and confirmed alignment and established deadlines before you were even given the task and I walked away. So because of that, I respect your autonomy. I expect you to do you on this task that you were given. Like, make this yours. Let your light shine through this. For competent employees in the workplace, that is great. Like, cool, you want me to do this? This is my project. What are the parameters? What are the expectations? What does success look like for you? What will I be measured on? Okay, let's make sure we get that. What will I be measured on? Cool. Any other thing else? What do you know you have to have in here? What are some whatevers? Great. Let me fly. Let me do this. Let me be engaged in this work. Make it mine. You coach me. We win. Yes. Dream set up in the workplace. How did that translate as a bride, though? Yeah, no. One of those things is not like the other. Employees and vendors. Vendors and employees. Yes. So they both work for you. Yes. In the workplace, Director Danielle, yes. Employees, yes. In real life, Bride Danny, no. Your vendors are getting paid to make your vision come to life. Yeah, girl. Like, they are here to make your vision come to life. And so I met with every vendor and gave the same speech, same thing I would think to do at work. So here are the things that I know I want. Here are the relevant details. All right. Thank you. Have fun. Fly. Be free. Go. Bye. And like every vendor was like, wait, what? What did you want me to do? So thank God I have personal relationships with all of my vendors and they know me and they understand that I'm not this crazy, decision fatigued, overwhelmed, right? That's not me at all. Of course not. So they were able to work with me and help me establish and articulate a solid vision based on the concepts that I had in my brain. Concepts that are apparently so abstract that my groom, my fiance, still does not even see my vision. So my theme is winter rose garden, right? What does that mean to you? Like, what does that mean to you? When I say winter rose garden, what does that mean to you? Whatever that means, that's what I want. So that's pretty much how all of my conversations go with my vendors. Yeah, like, I mean, I hired them to do what they do. So I feel like I shouldn't have to lay it all out. Yeah, so in the workplace, yes. You hire a super executive, you expect to be able to give them your strategic plan, collaborate on whatever you need to collaborate on, and let them handle their project. So I treated my wedding as the biggest group project ever. And as we all know about group projects, they don't always turn out the best. Because if we're not aligned and if it's not clear, you got a bunch of different people and it's like nobody knows who owns what and where we are with who. And yeah, that's kind of how it ended up becoming. So yeah, the leadership components, yeah, great. As a bride though, that was awful. Thank God I had vendors and a team. Who were able to connect with me and my heart and soul and get us to the goal, because that approach did not work. I thank God for my vendors, but my team, let me take a moment just to talk about my team and how awesome they are, because again, every great leader needs a team. I mean, you have to have a team. No woman nor man is an island. Even Jesus had a team. So I know that I cannot do anything alone, and I would not be able to do anything alone. Let me just talk about my team. So I treated my wedding like a group project, and I failed. Like, all of my approaches were wrong. Thank goodness LaToya was able to come in and swoop in and step in and save me and put us back on track. But my team, they know how to do a group project. And because I know how to do a group project at work most of the time, I thought I could treat the wedding as one. In real life, I fail. However, they win. So let me just talk about my team for a minute. So I have 8 bridesmaids, which represents new beginnings in the Bible. And this is truly a time for new beginnings and transformation. They're the most perfect group to lift me in love and power as I prepare to become a wife. So my bridesmaids, my cousin Donita. She's always been my shero, and I have looked up to her as far back as I can remember. So one of my earliest memories is Donita teaching me how to do a backbend. So she's always been teaching me and demonstrating how to be flexible and adaptable and be strong. And she is one of the strongest women that I know. Mother of 2 beautiful daughters. She's an entrepreneurial engineer, super smart and creative and amazing. I love my cousin Donita. So let me get back to this group project and bring it all full circle. Let me tell you why I believe in the power of a group project. I left out of the house on this one random Saturday. My bridesmaids told me that we were going to go to a Halloween party in Chicago for my bachelorette party. They know I love Halloween. It's my favorite holiday. They said we were going to go out for a Halloween party as my bachelorette celebration. They told me to wear all black because we were dressing as bank robbers. Cool. So I wore my all black. I left out the house with my purse and $23. That is all I had. My purse, $23. So my BFF, the matron of honor, she picks me up in her car. We drive over to Age of Cakes and call me Alma's house. So we over now at these bridesmaids' houses. I'm using their nicknames, you know, Bachelorette, Secrecy, all that good stuff. So we're at the house. There's this box on the table with a little card. It says, "Hi, Danielle." Didn't say hi. I'm always thinking I'm at work. It said, "Dear Danielle, you didn't believe that you were really going to be a bank robber, did you?" And I did, because I believe what people tell me. I didn't doubt. So it's like, of course you're not. Here's your real costume. So I opened the box. So in the room, it's Age of Cakes, my matron of honor, and that's it. It's just the two of them in the room, or so I think. So I open up the box. There's a cape, a tutu, a gold sequin crop top bustier. They had made me a costume, a Queen of Hearts costume. And so my bridal theme that they had thrown was queening. They picked that theme. I just knew where to show up. And so I'm like, okay, they really do think I'm a queen in real life. I knew I was a superhero. That's why they gave me a cape. And they said that love is my superpower, which my EFF had told me a while ago. And as I think about my leadership journey, I believe it. Love really is a superpower, and it's something, it is a muscle that we can all grow and flex. But yeah, more on that love stuff later. So now I turn around. I see three other bridesmaids on the stairs in costumes. Trill Simone was there. My EFF was dressed as a magical unicorn. And Call Me Almond was there representing just black power, just beauty queen Africa, just her costume. She was the motherland superhero. So now they like, take off those clothes and put this costume on. So I got dressed in like 4 seconds. No kidding. So while I'm taking off my black outfit, throwing on my Queen of Hearts outfit, they're talking about an Uber and how it's 15 minutes away and that, you know, we just need to just go. So they give me a sleep eye blocker pillow thing, you know, where you put the little sleep mask on and throw me in the back seat of a sedan. So Age of Cakes is driving. Call Me Almond is in the passenger seat. And I am laying on the laps of Trill Simone, the magical unicorn, and my BFF, matron of honor, in the backseat. So I have this Phoenix, West, Mars, and Concert playlist. That's my superhero name. You know, my Charge Me Up playlist. If you don't have a Charge Me Up playlist, you should certainly get one. You know, everybody, every superhero need a theme music. So the songs are flowing in this super heavenly fashion. Like, I'm like, man, so, you know, I'm blindfolded, laying across their laps in the back seat. I'm like, either Jesus or Call Me Almond is on this playlist right now, because they are flowing in an order that is just way too specific. So Good Life, Kanye, come on. I'm rapping my little heart out right before When I Get My Car Back Activated, I'm Back to Vegas. Call Me Almond stops the music, and she's like, well, we're kind of stopped at a light, so I guess you can take your mask off. So I'll take it off. It's kind of rainy. I see a gas station. You know, Age of Cakes had been whipping that car, baby. Like, she was wheeling and dealing in that car, and so I didn't know where we were. She gives me a piece of paper. It says Danielle Griffin, boarding pass, Las Vegas, Southwest Airlines. And so I'm like, wait, what? So then, of course, they put the music back on, and Kanye, When I Get My Car, yeah, you know, I always had a passion for flashing. Before I had it, I closed my eyes and imagined a good life. So now I'm just crying in this backseat, boohooing, real tears, shaking, uncontrollable. I have three places that are appropriate to cry. the shower, church, and the car. Any other place is inappropriate. I'm working on adding the couch. That one is still, you know, out there, but for sure, the three places. So I was in the car. I'm crying. It's cool because I'm in the car crying. Then, you know, the playlist keeps going and another song comes on. So now I'm really boo-hooing, crying. I'm like, girl, Danny, get yourself together. You're going to be out this car soon and you can't be looking like you just got kidnapped. Like you literally did, but you cannot look like it when you get to the airport. So now AJ Case drops us off at the airport. So we running through the airport and I see my other bridesmaid, Breezy Bell, standing there waiting for us in the airport. I'm like, Breezy, what you doing here? She like, hey girl, let's do this. So she got a pink wig on. I don't think nothing about it because, you know, we living our best lives. But she got on sweats. I didn't even think about it. So now it's six of us running through the airport. She gave me that piece of paper at 6:15. We got to the airport at 6:19. Our boarding was 6:30. So we get through the gate, running. I'm bare, like I did not even put my little boots on. I'm running through in socks. So now we get to right outside the gate. I'm looking around. I'm still in shock. All of a sudden, I turn around. My sister comes around the corner with her three besties. Their crew, whom I lovingly call the Shamtastic Four, were all there in their superhero costumes. So I'm looking around like, wait. All my girls, my bridesmaids, my friends, the Shamtastic Four were all dressed as superheroes. So my sister was Captain Asshole because she is the captain of the team of bridesmaids. She's the sister of the bride. Then we had the Master Deflector, Super One Time, and the Incognito Private Investigator. If you ever need something investigated, I can tell you who to go to. So they're all dressed as superheroes. The theme of the surprise bachelorette party was hashtag saving the money because they said even superheroes need saving and they were all protecting the queen. So we had a 7 p.m. flight to Vegas and a 6 a.m. return flight to Chicago. I was totally surprised. This group of women flew me out to Vegas, created a costume, all organized schedules. My Breezy Bell was living out of her car because she had traveled so many places for work, for like she was all over the country and she still made it. It was all a secret. I was totally surprised. We landed in Vegas at 7 p.m. and we're on the flight back to Chicago at 6 a.m. They flew me to Vegas so that I could breathe the air and have a costume party in Las Vegas for my bachelorette party. And they did that secret I never found out. So yes, I believe in the power of group projects. I know it is possible to get everybody on the same accord. I know that it is possible to do the impossible and make it, flawless plan. We touched down, had an agenda, we did everything on our agenda. Everybody was happy. Every need was met and we got back and it was perfect. I thought I could do that for the wedding. I couldn't. However, they could do it for my bridal party, for my bachelorette party, my bridal shower. So yeah, I thank God for the vendors I have because they've understood me even in my bad bridiness, my not specific wishes for their roles and how they make my vision come to life. Me just saying, Winter Rose Garden, make it happen. They have been there for me and walked me through. I thank God for the team, my mama, my mother. Of course, she comes through with the capital. She takes care of me. I thank goodness for my mama, my bridesmaids, my friends, my family. Of course, my fiance. But I learned the hard way. I am not God. There is only one source that can out-operationalize humans, and that is not me. And I thought that I could do that. I thought I could solve for all the problems, be proactive, create systems, structures, deadlines, expectations, clear, give resources. I thought I could do all of that stuff. But no, I cannot. You cannot out-operationalize human behavior. People are going to people, okay? People gone people. Humans gone human. And you can set up these rules, these best practices, send them links to resources, all of that. But if people want to be mad, they will be mad. And if they want to be there for you, they will be there for you. And so those are principles that make me a great collaborative, compassionate leader, but they made me a terrible bride. And so I know that in some situations, bridezillas are made, but the queen was saved. My team saved me. And so people who know me are really, really surprised when I share this about my internal struggle with having to manage the wedding. Because in real life, I'm such a strong organizer and planner, and I am a leader in real life. But as a bride, I was not those things. And so what should a bride be? I don't live with regrets because I do think I do my best to learn lessons from everything. And I learned plenty of lessons in this wedding planning process, okay? But I would say I recommend that brides should have ownership. So again, I let everyone have power and influence, and I shouldn't have. It should have been my wedding. I guess, you know, if I'm being progressive in 2018, it's our wedding, you know, whatever. But seriously, there should have only been two voices in the room. Two voices and the whispers of a financial backer at best. I've called this wedding the wedding that love built because it's so far from what my original vision of what my wedding would have been. And that's okay. Remember, I'm flexible and adaptable. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't married to any of those original ideas. You see what I did there? But for brides who know that they have a vision, I would say establish ownership early. Boundaries early. And I will say that again, establish boundaries early, expectations early. What does success look like early? What financial strategy you want to use to pay for this wedding? Talk about that early. You make those decisions with your partner early. And then alignment. So my fiance still does not understand my vision. And we get married in 6 days. So when I say winter rose garden, he just smiles and nods at this point. I know what my vision is. My bridesmaids know. My vendors know. And my fiance just smiles. And that's okay. Because he, too, has learned to be flexible and fluid in our wedding process. His experience hasn't been a piece of cake either. Just wait till you hear his side. That's another episode. If I were to make a suggestion, I would say to sit with your partner and make sure that you are both aligned on what the vision is. You have to speak that same language. Use the same descriptions. Be consistent and aligned. Because people will ask you for details. And people will notice the gaps and the inconsistencies and exploit them. You can block people's attempts at manipulation when you and your partner are aligned on the vision. If you and your partner are aligned on the vision, even if it's not 100% alignment, it needs to be in at least 80% on the big things, the non-negotiables, the must-have and the optionals. If you are aligned, you can talk to your family members, friends, well-wishers, naysayers, and not entertain any foolery or confusion because you already will know the answer. And then if you have ownership over your vision and alignment with your partner and any other relevant parties, I think confidence is the final ingredient to this triple decker bridal burger. Like if you own your vision, it's yours. Who can come and tell you something about yours? On what authority can they come and tell you about what's yours? Exactly. Your standards are your standards. You won't need external validation and resources. You can stand on your decisions and people can take them or leave them. And that doesn't make you a bridezilla. It makes you a bride. People have 100,000 questions that if you allow, will take you over the river and through the woods to the most random wedding thought. And before you know it, you've opened another wedding loop. Be confident about your plans, your vision, and your decisions. Maybe somebody else imagined you with a different type of dress or at a different venue or with a different officiant or with a different wedding party. None of that matters. The only people who should be influencing your elements are you and your partner. And it's okay to say no confidently without being burdened with the emotional weight, especially as a bride. And so my final tips for any bride, the things that I would recommend, get you a team. Get a strong team that is there for you, that will protect you. Be a bride proudly. This is your day. Your feelings matter. It is not your obligation to heal the generational curse of relationship dysfunction in anyone's family. It is not appropriate to design your experience around other people's expectations. It's not realistic to become a people pleaser in order to avoid conflict. And it is not okay to put yourself last. It's your day. Take the day off work. Be a bride. This is Danny G, and the G is for gone.